This is Evan Murray. This is Music Industry Insights. You can get a hold of me at email, evan@musicindustryins.net. Evan, E-V-A-N, at musicindustryins.net. This podcast is an interesting one. And I'm not just saying that for your health. I'm not just saying that so you stay here and listen to my voice either. This is something very interesting that I think Canadians especially need to listen to. Any countries that have government support for their arts and music need to listen to this podcast because it's kind of shocking. My guest on this podcast is the Showcase Conference Coordinator for Live at Heart SX. That's Live at Heart Southeast, okay? They probably don't call it Live at Heart SE because SE is actually the initials for Sweden. But now, as interesting as Live at Heart Southeast SX is, my guest also works for a company that is sponsored by his region. So Live at Heart Southeast is sponsored by the region of Kalmar, and so is his company called Talent Coach. You're going to hear about Talent Coach in this conversation. We talk about a lot of things, but what's really important for you to take out of this is the operation that Talent Coach performs. Okay, like this is a start to middle to cascading company of development, support, and sustainability. And it also works as an export office too. So Talent Coach is something I'm super excited about. The guys at Talent Coach are super excited about Live at Heart. And there's just a lot of information in this podcast that you can really dig into. And it's really useful. And I really hope you enjoy it. And if you get good or bad or whatever you get out of it, email me, let me know. But most of all, enjoy it.
Hey, Boza, nice to see you today. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Evan, really nice seeing you too today. And so happy to be talking to you today.
Right on. Let's jump right in here. Like, just please introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about Live at Heart Southeast, or tell me about Talent Coach first, because that was like your first company, and then tell me about Live at Heart Southeast, please.
Yeah, my name is Bosse Nikolausson. I would say that I'm an ex-musician, which is not entirely correct, because I still do a little bit of music, but I used to be in a band called Charisma, and we were touring, the world, actually, back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
So that's my background. Yeah, I did a little bit of touring, 2000 and something in early 2000. But since then, I've been focusing on doing artist development myself. So I've been hired by an organization. Well, actually, building an organization to do artist development, and being that is being government funded. So it's about creating like support structures for artists that come from our region where I live and work, and try to support them to become artists, songwriters, producers. So we've been doing that for about 10 years now. And we started out just working with artists, and we kind of started working more with producers and songwriters as well. And from there, we started working with the university in the region called Linnaeus, and they have a program called Music Event Management. Music Event Management Program. And that is the next generation, like music industry in Sweden. So we've been working with them, hooking them up with artists that we work with and artists that we know about, and also try to coach them to start their own businesses while they're in the region before heading out, or maybe, some of them will stay in the region. So that's basically what my jobs is about.
So what that job is about then is like you're preparing artists to develop not only like internationally but also regionally. Like you're preparing them to like so can you take me through a little bit of that process? Are you guys like doing mentorship? Are you training them on how to create their materials? Is it like a full development? Like how do I get more into the details of that? It's very interesting. Yeah.
So we have when we find an artist that we feel have the potential, not only the potential musically, but also have the drive. We put them in our program and to support them with we mentor them and coach them. And if and when things start, when things start to happen, we are able to invest more heavily into their careers, which means that we help them out with starting their own company.
Wow.
Yeah. So we look at it as if you want to survive and making music and make a living, you should from the beginning start to think of it as an enterprise.
As a business, right? Yeah. Take it on like a business. And I mean, that it makes sense because I mean, a lot of what I'll start, like, I've kind of created this mantra now because I've been like doing lectures and talking to people and stuff like this. It's like, don't think of your music, like if you're in a band and you're serious about it, like you need to start thinking about it like it's a pizza shop, like, okay, you're going to make your own pizza. Like what, you're going to have to invest. You're going to have to need the material, all these different aspects of running a business. It's no different than the, having a band. So yeah, that's really insightful. And I mean, man, something like your organization doesn't really exist in a lot of places. So that's like super great, man. Like,
yeah, we feel, good about what we're doing, and we've seen results from, what we've been doing as well, that we have artists from our region that's, that is the way they make their money. This is, right. That is their job now, So it's a small program, but we've been, quite successful with having artists being able to live off the music, which, to a lot of them actually has been a dream that they almost didn't believe that they could, that could happen, but it has. And so we help them out starting their own business, but also every artist that we work with and every act that we work with, we try to figure out, okay, what's your, strength, what's your weaknesses.
So it's a really personal, okay,
yeah,
so
individual.
I mean, I just want to bring this back a bit because this is really interesting, and I think it's really kind of important for folks to understand this as well, because like in Canada, what we have is we have MIA offices, which are music industry associations, and they're funded by the government. But what happens is the people that work in those offices. So what happens is they'll put out newsletters and advertisements, and then people will sign up and they'll pay to become a member, right? So they'll pay a nominal fee, say like $125 Canadian. Like, I guess that would be something like, 60 kroners kind of thing, Swedish kroners, to become a member per year kind of deal. And then what happens is, they'll send out opportunities, and then say if there's like an opportunity to showcase, go to Sweden and showcase. You can talk to them and you can like say, hey, I would like my band to do that. And they can talk to you about funding you, that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's like, it's not at all like hands-on like you guys are. And I think this is super important to focus on, because I don't even know about these kind of things in another country where it's so individualized. Like you're like becoming almost like a mentor manager for a little while and a business consultant, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's so fantastic. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, I just want to say, that's the way it should be, man. I think so, so keep going. Please tell me more about this.
Thanks. We feel, giving it, have an individual plan is, that is not, you don't waste people, their time. You just focus on what you're supposed to focus on. And you, I mean, not everybody you know, if you need to get better on stage, then we work on that. If you need to work around your business, we work around that. But it's not one size or, you know, fits all. It's like we have our
it's personal.
So we do that, and we cover all areas between starting your business to, you know, everything with PR, with staging, with what's your, I mean, your business. How do you? What's your image? What is your branding? What's your target audience? Target audience. What should we do? You know, about everything that has to do with becoming an artist, and not just writing music and rehearsing. It's everything around that. So it's a lot up to them. So it's not like we do everything for them, but we are there for them. And also, if they have the drive, we try to, you know, lift them up to the next level. And also one really important thing that we thought from the beginning was what we should do is that networking, make sure that we have, you know, that they work on their network from day one.
Well, this is awesome, man. Like, so let me, and the thing is also you all, like, there's also an export component to this as well.
Yeah.
You also work. So if you take on an artist and let's say, you know, an example, and you say, okay, you know, they need work on the stage show. We got to teach them about their electronic press kit and their branding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see improvement over a year and like things kind of connect and come together. And you can see that there's opportunity for them to tour in the United States, let's say. You know, there's a festival they can land at. Then, you know, there might be a way that they can do a tour. So you guys can actually access funding for that as well.
Absolutely.
See, that's power. That's very powerful, right? That, I mean, you guys are the one-stop shop. That's amazing. Like, it is amazing.
Yeah. So, well, thanks. So also when we put them on tour, well, when we showcase them, we make sure that, you know, the work is done before the showcase, but also the work during the showcase festival and also after. And we try, and not just try, I cannot mention one festival where we had an act that where we not were there when we weren't there to represent, because we want to be there to promote and represent them while they are there.
So wow.
Any opportunities that should be, I mean, it's not that easy for an act to just go out there and showcase, and then you have business people around in the audience while you're on stage. So we try to, so we act a little bit like management, but we're not really management, because
I understand you're trying to get them, you're just trying to get the best result for them so that they can take their career and move on.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically raising, like, for no, you're kind of farming bands, right? Like, you're an artist, like, you nurture them and raise them and like water them and give them sunshine, and then, you know, you're trying to get them to fly off the nest.
Exactly. We help them all the way until they're ready to fly, and then when they fly, there's like no strings attached. They
have
no obligations to us. They can just do whatever they feel that they want to do. But what's been really interesting is that when the artists that we've been working with have, you know, they're ready to leave or ready to fly out and, you know, find the world, they still decide to stay. You know, they still want to be part of the Talent Coach family. So what happens then is that they give back to the next generation, because that's our deal, that if you want to be part of this, you have to give back. So
right. So you, like, the opportunities you've gained, the knowledge you've learned, kind of pass it down to the artists that are coming up, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so great, man.
I didn't think that would be, I wasn't expecting that, you know, all of them to do that, but quite a few, actually a lot of them have decided to be still part of the Talent Coach family, because that's what they call it.
Wow.
And they also start connecting with each other, and they do things that we're not even aware of with each other within the family, which has been quite amazing to see. And I don't know how that happened, but I'm really proud of them, and I feel good about them wanting to give back and also be kind of, you know, I've seen them being mentors and coaching the next generation, which is really cool.
it sounds like it happened pretty organically, and it kind of grew out of love, to be honest. You know, the thing was, it grew out of appreciation. And I really want to talk about something really significant here, because this is really odd. So there's people like all over the world that have these different companies, right? And these companies have functions. They'll have a primary function. But what ends up happening in these conversations is we start learning how the primary function leads to so many different functions surrounding the organization. Yeah. And the really, really interesting part is like these, it's almost like you're peering into different civilizations, or like they take on lives of their own. You know what I mean? So like Muddy Roots in Tennessee, like they have these festivals. Now it's grown this, like, it's amassed an international audience. It's amassed this type of thinking about, you know, like independent music, independent people, this kind of stuff. Like they're camping, they're doing all these things, but then it starts growing into different other festivals. So like now when you go to a Muddy Roots festival, like it's not a showcase, like they don't have professionals there, but there's an opportunity to connect to so many different other festivals or touring with other bands and all of these things too, right? Because it's just kind of organically happened that way. So yeah. Hearing about what you're doing and this, you know, like just the way that, because the business is doing something good, and out of that goodness is growing these other parts of how the business is operating. And it's fascinating to learn about this, like how it's just happening in all these different companies, you know, in a different way. So it's really.
Yeah. No, it's that's really cool. And I believe in, you know, freedom of choice, and they decide to stay on, not having any.
Yeah, you're not making them sign contracts or forcing them into. Yeah. It's great, man. It's great. So tell me about, like, so what happened? So like, okay, so you got talent coach, you're developing bands, you're, you know, nurturing them. You have a nice thing going on there. How did Live at Heart happen? How did the conference happen? You guys are running there's Live at Heart Orbro. I'm working with Aki with that one. There's Live at Heart and Vassar's coming this year. You guys had your Live at Heart Southeast this year. How did that come into existence?
Well, since we've had acts going to showcase festivals actually all over the world for you know, since day one almost.
How long have you had Talent Coach for? What year was that?
10 years. And we, it's 9 years. It's been 9 years since we did the first showcase festival we brought an act to a showcase festival. So we've been doing that almost from day one, realizing that a showcase festival is a good place for a band or an act to network and to start, you know, building your fan base.
Look, seeking opportunity, like, you know.
So we've had great experience with bringing acts to showcase festivals, with getting them signed and getting them, you know, on the way forward. So we also realized quite soon that there was one in Örebro, Live at Heart, and we started, you know, encouraging our acts to apply to Live at Heart Örebro. So we started doing that, and we went to Örebro and started to meet the guys that were running it. And then over the years, we've been doing things together, like in Texas, South by Southwest, when that festival is running. We've been doing things together. And also Folk Alliance International, we've done that together with Live at Heart and Oafke. So when he asked me, and we've been talking about having a showcase festival in the southeast region of Sweden, because we felt that that's an area where there's a lot of music, but there's like no showcase opportunities. So we decided that it was, you know, when the opportunity came up, then we would take, we will try, you know, when the right, when the time was right, we would do it. And then Orca calls me up and told me that they would help us out to, you know, start one in our region. So that was a year ago, about this time a year ago. So sure. The opportunity was there, the timing was right, and we decided to, all right, let's do it. And we got a lot of help from Örebro, and then we also decided to have it in May, because that was an opening in the, the calendar. There's showcase festivals all over the place. We decided that this weekend, the 20th, I think it was 20th of May, would be a good day to have ours.
Well, almost spring. So you're like, you were the spring festival, and you know,
nice weather. It would have been great. But then we had a pandemic, so it was all digital.
Well, but this is the exciting thing is, like, I mean, the foundation now for this Live at Heart thing is growing, right? Like, I'm doing one across the ocean in Canada. I'm heavily involved in the one in Örebro now. You know, you guys are existing. One's coming out of Västerås now. I mean, it becomes, I think there's a lot of possibility inside of a network like that, because, you know, like, I saw your guys' delegates this year. You guys had some of the top, like, top tier people from Sweden, like the top tier. Like, I mean, I saw the people, like, from the band Ghost, their management, like, some guy was in there, and there was, well, lots of people inside. So you have a super good network in Sweden and outside of Sweden as well. And for me, like, I mean, you and I are, like, kind of not closely associated, but we're associated. And obviously now we get to kind of work together. And I come from, like, the North American Asian background as well, where it's like, so I mean, there's, I just think there's just a beautiful opportunity for a lot of great things to happen, especially with, you know, working together. So when I heard about the Southeast, I was super excited. Like, I was like, holy, like, this is actually happening, you know? So it's crazy, man. And plus, like, with your talent coach, you know, you're raising bands, you're nurturing them. And then all of a sudden, like, now you have a platform to, like, just bring them right in and say, hey, look, here's your opportunities. What can we get out of this? I mean, Bose, you know, you got the world by the tail. You know what I mean? Like, it
feels like, and it feels really great to be part of this group of people that you are also, you know, part of being our, like you said, we're associates, and that feels really, really good. So the potential and the opportunities that I feel and see in the future are just super cool. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen. And like you said, we had a really good, when it comes to music industry people, we had a really good, we felt, you know, that we had the cream of the crop. It was a really, it was a really good crowd. So I was very, very happy with the way it turned out. And also the feedback that we've gotten back from the industry has been super, super cool. So I'm really happy about that. So,
well, you're obviously you're in the southeast of Sweden. Yeah. So you guys are like, now the southeast of Sweden is quite beautiful as well, right? Like, there's lots of lakes down there. There's kind of like a rich history. How close are you guys to, like, I know about the islands down there too. There's some islands that people like to vacation on. Are you guys anywhere?
I'm on one of those islands right now.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that's is that in the region or the vicinity?
Yeah, there's a bridge from the town Kalmar.
Okay.
To the island Öland, which is
Öland. Yeah.
White sand beaches, very beautiful.
Maybe bands, when bands come and tour there, maybe they can do some shows around the area and just check it out.
Absolutely.
Like,
we have castles. We have
See, that's one thing we don't have in Canada, right? We don't have castles.
Talma used to be, if we, you know, like, it used to be part of a union. Kalmar used to be part of a union called Hansa. Hansa is like old towns, like Cinderella towns, back in the day where, you know, and they were around the Baltic Sea. So you had one in Kalmar, you had one in Lübeck, you had one in, like, that's Germany. And then you had one in Visby, which is the other island. And also Tallinn was, it's also a Hansa town. So it was part of a union thing. So it's a lot of history.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. So this is a really important, because I mean, a lot of Canadian funding right now, I just want to mention this as well. I'm not really sure how it's working in Europe, but a lot of Canadian funding is being based now on what's called tourism and touring. Okay. So a lot, the government really is looking at the idea about like how powerful the music industry can be for tourism, you know, and it's not only inside, but outside as well. So, you know, like where I run Live at Heart is in a very isolated place on an island that would used to be inhabited by pirates. And there's like French islands owned by France there. And there's lots of war, and it's a deeply rich place of history, but it's also literally in the middle of nowhere. You know, so the whole initiative there is for people to come and have an experience. And it sounds like Live at Heart Southeast might be kind of similar to that. Like you sound like if I went down there, I would want to spend like 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks or in that region, you know?
Absolutely. Definitely. And it's, the area is really beautiful. I mean, you have, in Sweden, you have every summer they have, you vote for the best place to spend the summer. Kalmar won 3 years in a row. And also now Västervik was last year, and Västervik is part of the region as well. So it's if you want to, you know, as a tourist, if you want to go somewhere in Sweden, and it's not Stockholm or, you know, then definitely in this region, you have beaches, you have beautiful forests and, you know, lots of history. Yeah.
Well, you know, that the truth is, like, you know, because my association with Sweden is completely accidental, but it started 7 years ago. And since having this, like, kind of like this relationship, like I've been there, you know, a few times, and I got more associated inside the industry and made more and more friends. But I know the Southeast is significant because of the way that people talk about it. Like, this is where people go to vacation. This is where people go to, you know, relax and that, you know, like, and I mean, I know Swedish people love vacation because Swedish people are like mostly on vacation. And I have no idea how the country even operates because so much vacation. But no, I'm just kidding. Well,
I think we work very hard when we're, you know, working.
Right. Yeah. It must be.
No, but we like to spend time on the beach, but also skiing and things like that. So we want to have time.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about, so you got a package here. You got a complete package. Now you got your talent coach, you got your Live at Heart Southeast.
Yeah.
What do you see in the future? Like, I think it's pretty obvious what you guys have built. So, I mean, like, you know, you guys have built something that it sounds extraordinarily sustainable. You know, it sounds like this is something that's a very good idea and should be in place for a long time. So I don't really know how much, like, is there still room for evolution in this concept or like?
Well, we're one of our goals and visions. Our vision is that we want to have our region. We want this region to be a very creative region where, you know, if you're a musician, this is a place where you can actually develop and live and have a nice life.
Do you want people moving there? Is there a plan for people to move to Kalmar?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of our goals.
Because I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, oh man, I could start my music career again and go on white sandy beaches and have 5 months of vacation.
But seriously, this the region is really working very, very hard to make people aware of that this is a place where you can live now. I mean, you don't live in one of the bigger cities because digitalization has made it easier,
and also
has kind of changed, you know, the way people look at things and the way people, you know, like you realize that you don't really have to spend all the time you work in an office. You can do
I love what you're talking about here, because there's being in different countries, like, you know, I'm in Taiwan right now, but there's a similar problem going around the world. And what's happening is that people in smaller regions since the advent, since my generation, I don't know, but there's a big problem with people leaving their homes and all moving to the big city, right? But it's actually a problem in some countries. Like, it's become a problem now where it's like, these places are, you know, so many people are leaving. Well, in Newfoundland, where I live in Canada as well, people leave that area. They're born, they're raised, and they leave that area to go to the city. So the thing is, you know, what you guys are doing and what's compelling me in this conversation is that this is actually happening around the globe, that this is a serious, this is a real problem of people leaving their homes into the big sectors. And what you're saying is, and the government and you, people like you working with the government, is creating opportunities so people can stay. And so that, and to people to realize, like, hey, like, you can have your life in a smaller place, and you can still, you know, survive and be successful. Like, we're here to support you.
Exactly. That's our vision. And that's, I mean, as a musician, we, you know, the musicians that we've been working with that actually make a living of their music, it's easier to do that in our region because it's cheaper to live there than it is to live in Stockholm. So you have it's easier to focus on what you want to do instead of having to work two jobs and to be able to survive and then try to be creative, you know, when you're too tired. Living in our region, it's easier, and you can still tour. I mean, we have artists that tour, you know, North America, and they tour Europe. They go all over the place. It's not like it's so remote that you can't get anywhere, because it's really easy to move around anyway. And if you want to go have a meeting in, let's say you have to have a meeting in Stockholm, it takes you, you get on a plane in Kalmar, it takes like 30 minutes.
Oh, so you have an airport there as well. Okay. Well, that's easy.
If I would live in my apartment in Kalmar, go to the airport, airport is like 15, 20 minutes away. It's you get on the plane, 30, 35 minutes later, you land in Stockholm.
Wow.
And then you take the bus into the, you know, into the center of downtown Stockholm. But I would probably beat people, you know, getting there that live in Stockholm, because they have to travel, because you don't really live in the central area.
Maybe. So that's, you know, so you're talking to a Canadian, which sounds pretty crazy, because we have to drive so far everywhere, right? So talking about taking a half an hour drive, like half hour flight, all my mind is thinking is like, that's probably a 4-hour drive then. And what's wrong with that?
You're absolutely right. It is a 4-hour drive.
Okay. See, that's how Canadians do math in their head, is how far they have to drive. that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's our region that where we, you know, this we run our operation. That's, you know, one of their visions is to create opportunities for people to come and live, and not just, you know, go on holiday, but also live in the region.
Wow, that's big, man. That's big, right? Like, that's big stuff.
And that's also why we now are, well, not only why, but we feel that that's one of the reasons we said yes to working closer with the university, because they have some really good programs. And if we start connecting with musicians and potential managers or agents or, you know, record label.
You're creating a whole business ecosystem. Exactly. There's a whole ecosystem to develop there.
You start doing that from day one. They stay there for 3 years to study, and then, you know, set up their own business, and some of them will stay, hopefully. And if not, we have a great connection with them anyway. So it's like we have built our network, a future network with the next generation music business.
Well, let's keep moving here. This is a really interesting conversation. Where is there some ideas, let's say, to, like, would you guys ever come up with ideas to say, like, do trading with other countries? Like, where, like, say, like, there's a company in India or a company in China or Canada, whatever, and say, okay, here's five artists that we're developing. Here's five artists that they're developing. Hey, let's accommodate these five artists and switch them over and see how we can, like, train them in our way, and you guys can train them in your way. Is that something that's possible?
I think that could very well be the next step, you know, like in having the world as your stage, having the world, you know, like.
Well, I just think how amazing, like, I just think about how schools do these exchange programs, right? Yeah. So, like, kids will go and live with a family for like a year, you know, and then go to school, or half a year or something like that. And they'll go to school there and learn there, and then they'll come back and, you know, they'll write a report about, you know, what it was like living in Japan. And I'm just like, the thing is, I think that might be actually the greatest way to really understand a marketplace is right. If some artists actually kind of live there and operate inside of that country, you know. And so I just wonder, and plus the thing is, if artists come in there and you guys, the way you have your company set up, you know, mm-hmm. like if you mentored them and got their stuff together, I mean, that would actually give those guys from like China or Japan or Canada or whatever, that would actually give them a shot at having a career in like in the Western industry, you know, because mm-hmm. you guys are putting them, you know, step by step. So And I mean, MIA offices, music industry associations, they can't operate like that because they don't have the freedom, you know, let's say, or they don't have that initiative to do something like that. But you guys are sitting at the cusp of something super special, I think.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a very, very cool idea. And having, we've had, last fall, we had students from Mannheim, from Germany.
Okay.
Interns with Talent Coach.
Okay.
And yeah.
Well, wait, I remember when I was in Sweden in 2018, I met a girl, you and Mark Bounds, a guy from the UK.
Yeah.
You guys introduced me to a girl who was actually wanting to learn about working inside of Showcase conferences. And the thing is, like, I wasn't really sure because I didn't know about what Talent Coach was at that time, right? Like, I didn't know that what you were trying to, I didn't understand what was being trying to facilitate because, you know, I mean, I was a different person 3 years ago and I was doing my own things. And I was like, huh, you know, but now I'm like thinking about this and it makes sense. You were like, literally, you're trying to give people opportunity and trying to match people with.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
okay. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. Okay.
So what is the connection with the UK? You and Mark are business partners, is that, or?
He works for Talent Coach. Yeah, he's our.
Okay, so he lives in the UK, but he works for the Swedish Kalmar office of Talent Coach.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So
he spends a lot of time in Sweden, but he's based in the UK.
And is he the guy that like facilitates like the industry stuff in the UK for Swedish artists then from your office?
They pretty much so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's so interesting.
He's got a really, his network is amazing. You know, the people that he knows from his past, or, I mean, he used to be a record label guy.
Okay.
He worked for Sony and BMG and like all over the place. So there's a lot of, And he's really good at staying on top of things and keeping everybody, you know, like friends forever kind of guy, you know, like.
Right. You know, well, he's super, you know, I met a super nice guy. We've stayed in contact since I met him.
We had a we had a lot of help from him for the Live at Heart Southeast Festival, because wow. he was, yeah, like people from Texas and, you know, from all over the place were part of that because of Mark.
Wow. That's really great that you guys have a good relationship like that. And, you know, there's that value system intact there, you know, that yeah. you guys are really appreciative of each other kind of thing. That's yeah. really nice, man.
He also used to be in the, he used to be in education as well. I mean, he used to work for I don't remember the first school, but BIM in Europe. They have schools all over the UK, and they also started one in Berlin, where one of our students are going this fall to study music in Berlin.
Wow. You
know, at that school.
So, that is very cool. I mean, that's you're facilitating someone's growth and potential to have a career, you know? So, I mean, that's obviously you guys are doing your jobs.
Yeah.
all right. Well, yeah. I mean, so how about this? Is there any artists you want to talk about that we should keep our eyes on coming out of the Kalmar area? Sorry to put you on the spot. This is not rehearsed at all, so I'm just throwing this at you. I'm sorry.
It depends on what kind of music you're into, but I'm very much looking forward to the Dimker brothers.
Brothers.
Yeah, releasing their first album this fall. They've been touring Canada a couple of times, and they played the showcase festivals. Like they played Meadam, they played Southwest, they played Folk Alliance. So they're really good. They're a good live band. But now they're about to release their first album. Then we have another artist that I believe internationally has potential as a songwriter, but also as an artist, and that's Namel. Namel just signed with the label here in Sweden, and her streaming is looking really, really good.
Okay, so she's gaining some attention, seeing potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's been studying, and we've been working with her while she's been studying songwriting, and now she's, after Christmas, she is going to LA for a couple of months to work on music there for, I think, 3 months, and then we'll see what happens. But she's got the drive, and she's got the potential, definitely. So, yeah. There's a few more, but depends. I mean, what's been very popular over here right now is artists going from singing in English to singing in Swedish. That is a very, very big thing in Sweden right now, which is interesting. You know, it's
so everybody changing.
Yeah.
Sorry, please go ahead with that.
The younger generation, I mean, their English is, you know, amazing. I mean, they speak English. They've done that since they were kids, and everything from gaming and TV and movies and everything, you know, everything's in English. So they speak fluently, you know, their English is perfect. But now they're all starting to go back to singing in Swedish. Not all of them, but quite a few. It's a really big thing right now. Well, and I wonder, is
that like kind of like people, yeah, I guess it's like a little bit protecting their culture, yeah, and they're saying, hey man, like we've been driven so far into the English sector, we gotta reel this back here and, you know, make sweet, you know, Swedish is still a very important thing to Sweden, right?
Actually, what you're saying here is something that I've been thinking about. Is that the reason? I mean, they all want to travel, they all want to do everything. So it's not like they're against, you know.
Oh, I know, yeah, yeah.
English, yeah. Speaking English, but Swedish has become more important. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that we have a few artists that I also believe have, you know, great potential, but they sing in Swedish. So maybe not.
And I don't think there's any problem with actually taking if those tracks are working for them and they're, you know, and if you're loving it and they're loving it, there's no real problem to make different language tracks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, how long is it really going to take to sing your songs in two languages? You know what I mean? Like, what, it take an extra 2 hours maybe? You know what I mean? Give or take, you know, it's not like a big process of 2 years or something. Like, it's not an overwhelming. So why not? Right. Like, why not?
A few artists have actually started doing that now. They release the songs in two languages.
And that's, I mean, I think that's the way to, I mean, you know, dealing with kind of like a lot of the East Asian artists, this is a thing, because English, like once you, like, you know, India is a homogenous country, like, you know, racially homogenous, but they speak English very well, you know, in most parts of India. Going into Japan and South Korea and Taiwan and China, it's racially homogenous as well, but they don't, like, they don't speak English, right? So the thing is, like, a lot of the conversation is like, well, we don't need, like, well, first of all, China doesn't need anybody. China's like self-contained. Like, you can be famous in China and you can live the rest of your life, you know, no problem. And you can in these other countries as well, but there's also an international lust to get out there as well. And it's like, why don't people just listen to Mandarin? And I'm just kind of like, well, I can't help that. Like, they just don't, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be able to, it's hard to make other people listen to, you know, in the West, listen to Mandarin unless they speak Mandarin. You know, I don't know what to tell you, you know? So, but it's interesting because, it's kind of like, and then people feel pressure because a lot of the music they like is in English too, you know, and they're just like, well, I can't help it. I like it, you know? And I'm just like, well, diversify then, you know, do whatever you can just to like make it work. I mean, nothing's perfect. Just do whatever you can. it's a hard conversation because it always comes down to that. And I guess the thing is, it's, you know, the commercialization, it's just the fact of, you know, most of commercial things are in English and that's just the way the world is. So, I mean, you know, like, you kind of roll with it or you roll against it, but I think it's a great thing, man. I think it's great that people are identified with their culture. There's a big movement in Canada as well, like, you know, for Indigenous people and, you know, Canada wants to promote individual culturalism. It does. Yeah. It wants people to feel like, hey, like, this is Canada, but you can feel like you're at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I've learned a few things about Canada over the years. One of my closest colleagues is from Halifax.
Oh, Halifax. Yeah. So that's just a skip and a jump away from where I am.
Yes, I've been to Halifax a couple of times, and it's a really nice place.
So. Yeah, it is. I do. I actually love Halifax. Did you? Yeah. It's like a small big city. It's a small city that kind of behaves like a big city, you know.
So. Absolutely. and hanging out with Canadians, I had, you know, great time.
Oh man, that's. You're gonna get gain lots of hugs and kisses for that one.
Like Canada and Sweden, the way we look at things, we're kind of looking the same way.
We do, absolutely. And we're like totally like friendly and rivals at the same, like when it comes to hockey and comes to all these different things. It's like it's like having a brother, because it's like you're competitive, but you care about each other at the same time.
Absolutely. So I enjoy, you know, every time I've been in Canada, it's been great. You know, really, really nice people. Very, very soft, very cool, very laid back. I've had such good times.
Well, yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I got to be honest with you, like being in Sweden, it really actually, like visually, Sweden, like besides the Viking burials and besides the castles and like the architecture, but if you go into nature, if you go into the Swedish wilderness, you really can feel like you're still in Canada too.
Absolutely. It's
very, very similar, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it really actually reminds me of the East Coast of Canada. So if you were in Nova Scotia, in Halifax, and if you have the opportunity to drive like even a half an hour outside of there, you know, it is really similar.
We went to Fredericton.
Oh, okay. You drove down to St. John. Yeah. Or, New Brunswick. Yeah. 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 Okay. And, great.
You know, Rob's mother had a house by, you know, the river. It was amazing. It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Canada, you just had your national day, right? July 1st?
Yeah, we did. It's, well, you know, there's, I mean, I'm not afraid to bring it up. I mean, just talk about, you know, just to identify this a little bit. There's a lot of cultural difficulty right now in Canada because, as you know, like Canada is a country that was colonized by the British, you know, fought the French. And so we have our original indigenous people there. And there was a lot of, I mean, Canadians these days, I mean, they're learning about this, right? They're just learning about this stuff these days, about what colonization means, you know, because, I mean, people that are in Canada, I mean, the people that are not, everyone that's not indigenous in Canada is anywhere from, like, the furthest back you can go is maybe 5-6 generations, right? I'm sure there's some cases where people are 7 or 8, but that, I don't think, like, that would be super rare. So, like,
right.
Most Canadians you meet that are not indigenous, the furthest they go back is, you know, is like 4 generations or less. So the thing, even though they don't identify with their European culture anymore, because now they're, you know, embodied in this North American, you know, Canadian, but
it's
hard to imagine, like, oh, like, you know, this was somebody else's home before, you know, because I mean, like, if I go to, like, my genes, I'm part Irish, I'm part Scandinavian, but if I go, like, if I go into Sweden or Finland, like, it's still alien to me. I'm so separated. Or if I go to Ireland, like, it's so alien to me. I'm not, you know, I'm not, I might look Irish or Scottish, but I'm not, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's weird, man. It's, you know, it's weird. And, but we're moving forward. And I think Canada's strong enough. And I think people care enough. They're empathetic enough to kind of, you know, kind of bear this weight and just say, hey, like, this really happened. And, you know, we just have to deal with it as a nation and try to support each other, man, you know.
Absolutely. I think you'll be successful doing
that. that. This has become, now I'm like interviewing myself here. So. But no, both, I just want to thank you. What's that? Sorry.
That's great, man.
Way to turn it around, Evan. Yeah, but I just want to thank you for spending time and talk about Talent Coach and talk about, you know, Live at Heart Southeast. I'm super excited to be working closer with you guys. I'm super excited about this information. I will definitely be talking to this about to my colleagues about how your organization works, because I think this is the best thing I've come across, and I'll say that publicly. I think it is. It's absolutely fantastic, really. So,
thanks.
Okay. So thank you, Bosa, and I take care thank of yourself, you. And I'll be seeing you. Okay.
Absolutely. Take care. Okay. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.